Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Joyce Barry and Friends, the number one worldwide radio show. The show's outrageous and it's contagious. It will lift your spirits high, you'll feel that you can fly. Transform your attitude, fill it with gratitude. Cut loose and improvise, it's coaching time today. Joyce is a great coach with an extraordinary approach. Fast on the upbeat, top of the heap. A wild motivator, great stimulator. Unstoppable in a humoristic way. Life lessons with passion, joyfully today. You want Joyce as your coach if you want this to be your best year ever.
Coach Joyce here. I want this to be your best year ever. I want this to be my best year ever. I want this to be the best year ever for Father Brian McWeeny, his friends, his family, and we want this to be the best year ever for all our friends, family, and loyal listeners worldwide.
Joyce, Barry, and Friends, the number one radio show. You might be wondering why this is so. Memorable quotes, life lessons, and so much more. The Coach's Corner will make you soar. All outstanding guests that we love to feature. You will find the show to be the best teacher. Great authors like Ted Siuba and Bernie Siegel. Awesome leaders that soar like an eagle. Beverly Nadler with Here's to Your Health. Home business opportunities to increase your wealth. Kurt's impersonation and improvisation add to the show's transformation, broadcasting live across America and around the globe with timely topics and issues to probe. The chat room is always fun. We see your comments and appreciate each one. Want to change your life? Change your approach.
And hire me, Joyce Barry, as your success coach. And folks, you will be successful. Tune into our show every day, an important guest, an important topic to make a profound difference in your life. And how excited I am and how honored and blessed I am that today we have with us Father Brian McWeeny. He talks about Good Friday, Lent. He leads us in a celebration of Easter. Father Brian is the Director of Ecumenical Affairs and Interreligious Activities for the Archdiocese of New York. And when you hear him tell the story of Easter and its religious significance in terms that we can all understand, it doesn't matter your faith, it doesn't matter your traditions, let us all learn from each other. This show is for everyone. You don't have to be Christian. Welcome to the show, Father Brian.
Thank you very much, Joyce. It's good to be with you again.
Always a pleasure to have you, and you always have an open invitation. Anytime, any place, when you have a message, which you do every day, we're always happy to broadcast your message. You are so special. Where do we start? Why don't we start with Good Friday, since it's today?
Well, you mentioned briefly the season of Lent is coming to an end. It climaxes certainly in these, I would say, almost 4 days. But it, is really the centerpiece for many is Good Friday. Last night, we began a commemoration of Holy Thursday. And that ceremony had two parts to it crucial to our Christian faith. The first was in the, I was with the Cardinal last night, and he washed the feet of people in imitation of Christ who washed the feet of his 12 apostles, or 11 apostles, I should say, because one had left early, and the betrayer, but 11 apostles, and he said to those apostles, as he says to us in the scripture today, as I have done for you, you must do for others. In other words, a focus on Holy Thursday is the fact that the Christ wants us to always be very, very conscious of the people around us and how much we must aid them in spiritual ways, yes, but also material ways. And then as the Mass continues, we believe it was a Passover meal that Jesus took the bread and the wine and blessed it and gave it to us as a gift of himself. And that is the sacrament of Holy Communion. And so that was a very special evening. We believe after that meal occurred, Jesus was arrested and first tried by the Jewish leaders, the Sanhedrin, and then by the Roman government. It was the Roman government who crucified him on Golgotha. On the there was a hill outside of Jerusalem, and we believe that he died there. And then he was put into a grave very close to the place where he died. And on Sunday, we believe on the first day of the week, that he arose from the dead. So it's a very powerful feast we celebrate. But it's one, as you said, Joyce, that we all can celebrate to a degree, because the phrase we use as Christians is that Christ gives us new life. And certainly that's something we all desire, isn't it? New life. And we desire to appreciate today. You always begin your shows with saying, may this be the best year yet. And certainly we love a God, both of us, who wants to give us all good and helps us. And that's why this is a very special time of the year, both in the celebration of Passover and the celebration of Easter.
Yes, it's interesting how often, not always, Passover falls the same week as Easter week. And what's interesting about Easter, it's called a movable feast because it doesn't fall on a set date every year as most holidays do. And Easter varies between March 22 and April 25 every year. So it is movable, and I always enjoy when it falls the same time as Passover because I see the similarities and how these two holidays are so much in conjunction with each other. Did you want to say more about Lent, since that leads up to Holy Thursday and Good Friday, and then we'll delve into our Easter celebration?
Well, I don't want to say too much more about Lent, because thanks be to God, Joyce, it's coming to an end. Our time of waiting, our time of sacrificing and fasting is coming to an end, and ends with the triumph of a life over death. And so it will be a very wonderful celebration. The church on Holy Saturday night will be filled with joyful music. And that leads us into the whole celebration of Easter. And Easter, the Christians, particularly Catholics, say that Easter time is, frankly, 50 days. So you can say to somebody, 3 weeks from now, Happy Easter. Because we'll say it's the third Sunday of Easter or the fourth Sunday of Easter. Years ago, we used to say the first Sunday after Easter, but we don't do that anymore. We say,
yeah,
oh,
I understand.
It's such a wonderful celebration.
I just want to make one reference to Lent. I know you're getting past it. I know about it as fasting and prayer and penance, but isn't it traditional? I don't know how much the fasting goes on. From my understanding, people are giving up the food, the thing that they love the most. So where does the fasting come in? Is it in that reference, or are there days of fasting?
There's days of fasting, certainly the most important being Ash Wednesday and today, Good Friday. But also people tend to keep many days of fasting. In other words, fasting is, it would be having one main meal and then two minor meals that would not equate to a second meal. So there is a very disciplined methodology to those who do fast.
Oh, okay. Mostly
so
people talk
just,
about the thing they love so much that they're giving up.
Yeah. Yes. It's not that. It's that's part of it. You know, there are some people I know who will who like a can of beer at night, you know, or a glass of wine, and they'll say no. For Lent, I will not have some wine. I will not have beer. My mother was interesting. One time, she gave up sugar in her tea. She loved sugar in her tea. And she did that one Lent and never, ever again took sugar in her tea.
Wow.
Until her death.
I can relate because I'm a
yeah.
sugar person also. That's interesting. Well, they say it takes 21 days to break a habit. Lent is 40 days.
Right. But she was a very powerful Catholic.
Am I correct that I know this is so much with Passover, that with Easter as well, it's a time of forgiveness, that's a big part of it?
Well, it's interesting that you say that. Certainly, we focus very much on the idea of forgiveness because the whole reason that Jesus came upon the earth was to forgive man's sins.
Yes.
And now, the last few years, Cardinal Dolan from New York and Bishop DiMarzio from Brooklyn, and then Bishop Murphy have declared what we call Reconciliation Monday. And that meant that for the whole day, churches would be open so people could go to confession and repent of their weak sins. And that has been tremendously successful, tremendously. And so it's very much a part of Lent and of the idea of receiving forgiveness from God.
And is it beyond forgiveness from the Father to, like, forgive your neighbor, your friend? Does it include that as well, that aspect?
Oh, that's always, yeah. You cannot have one without the other. In our faith, there's one book, the book of James, which I love because James is so practical. And he said, how can you believe in God who you do not see and yet not treat mankind, you know, his creation? It just is impossible. And so he said, you know, don't say to somebody, well, God bless you, and then ignore his needs, like if he needs a blanket or if he needs a meal or something like that. You cannot separate your if you have your obligations are to God and man all the time.
Very well stated, because I talk about forgiveness a lot on my shows as a major way of healing. And people, you know, say, well, they may not accept my forgiveness. That's true. You can never speak for someone else. They may or may not, but you need to forgive for your own healing. I'd like to share an original poem about forgiveness that kind of expresses how I feel about it. Forgiveness, an original poem by yours truly, Joyce Barry. How do I forgive? How do I let go? You hurt me so bad, and you know this is so. How could you, I ask? I am reminded every day. The pain is so intense, it just won't go away. You really were cruel. What you did was obscene. You left me devastated. How could you be so mean? When truth be told, I knew that the healing key was to forgive you, not for your sake, but for me. And so I forgive you, but I may never forget what you did to me that you don't even regret. Without this healing, which is so dramatic, forever my life would be totally traumatic. And so I forgive you, though what you did was a sin. I am forgiving you so the healing can begin. I just want to mention that Chaplain Oscar Smith, who's a regular on our show, has written about 20 books. And one of the books is He Came Incognito. It's about Jesus Christ. And he loved this forgiveness poem so much. It's published in his book because so much of the spirit of the Bible in any religion is about forgiveness. So his book, He Came Incognito, where you'll see that poem, you can purchase it on Amazon. Back to you, Father Brian.
Well, I certainly agree with the sentiments of your poem. The idea of anger and one priest once called it the becoming a collector of injustices. It hurts you more than the person who might have offended you initially by keeping it alive, you know, in your heart. You know, you're dragging that person around you, you know, with all your problems, and you're dragging him around too, you know. So
absolutely. So for healing, it's essential. And that poem came to me when I heard the story of someone driving along a highway, and some teenagers on an overpass just threw bricks randomly at cars. And this brick went through the window, blinded him. He managed somehow to pull over. He had many, many surgeries, and I wrote that poem for him. And he was so moved by it, and he said how much it helped him. And then Chap Oscar picked it up for his book. So I really believe that forgiveness is inherent in any kind of healing. Back to the holidays. I love Easter. How could you not love the Easter parade, the Easter bonnet, the bunnies and the eggs and the traditions? Would you like to share some of that?
Well, it's interesting you talk about the Easter parade because, of course, that occurs basically after Mass at St. Patrick's Cathedral. It occurs right around the neighborhood of the cathedral. And that's the beginning of the Easter parade, walking on Fifth Avenue, as they say. You know, in the song it talks about Fifth Avenue. Well, if you ever see pictures of the movie, remember the Easter parade movie, you'll see pictures of St. Patrick's Cathedral. And it's the people coming out of St. Patrick's and then up the block, St. Thomas the Apostle, and also the Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church, you know, all the Christian churches that are there, you know.
Oh, I love that song. I don't know. I must have seen the movie 10 times. Yes.
Yeah. The Holy Father, when he came to New York, was the car stopped, and the cardinal said, "We're here." And he looks at the cardinal very much amazed, and he says, right across is Atlas, the statue of Atlas. He says, "This cathedral is right in the middle of everything." And we said, "Yes, yes it is." So he was very taken with that idea that the Church of New York was very much a part of the community of New York.
I believe that St. Patty's Cathedral is one of the most historic and extraordinary cathedrals in the world.
It is one of the things, its first name, though, was by a critic, Hughes's Folly. And the reason it was called Hughes's Folly is because it was being built in the middle of the country. But you have to remember that for New York at that period of time, the real New York ended about 34th Street. And all the great mansions were above that. And so here he seems to have been building this cathedral, you know, way out of the city. And now it's the very center of the city.
It is just so beautiful and extraordinary. I've been there on Christmas Eve Mass, but other times as well. It is just being in it, it is just so very, very special. In simplistic terms, how would you explain to people who really don't know the story of Easter, how it came to be?
Well, you know, one of the things that I've said to you, and I'm sure Joe has, this feast reminds us of how all of us are one family. And our family began with that first set of parents who offended God. You know, he said, "Do not eat of the tree." And from that point, from Genesis, God wanted to reconcile with mankind. And we believe as Christians that that reconciliation was completed by the sacrifice of his son on the cross. And so it is a joyful time because we feel that mankind has gotten a second chance to have a more intimate relationship with God. You know, that relationship was blessed and strengthened down through the centuries with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, with Moses and the prophets, and now the very Son of God comes and dies for our sins. Now, of course, that's Catholic theology, which is there is no simple way of breaking it down other than that. But the thing is that we recognize in his passing a certain joy, but also recognition that we are all one family. You know, and I'm grateful to live in a time of the church when that is being more recognized, and that Joe and I can sit down and go to a Seder together. But I mentioned to you, I know on the air before, that I attended 3 Seders this year.
Wow.
And the one
three.
That the one that I found most moving was the Seder with children. We had 25 youngsters who were from Jewish day schools, 25 youngsters from Muslim schools, and 25 youngsters from a Catholic school. And they all sat down and had the Seder meal together, and they had a person teaching them what the meaning of the Seder was. And it was quite moving. It was very well done, well executed. It was done under the aegis of the Anti-Defamation League. And that was a wonderful opportunity to be won. And then the one up in Westchester with the AJC, that too was an interfaith Seder, because both of them occurred before Passover. Now, the one that Joe and I went to, that was on the first night of Passover with a lovely family, and we had a great celebration.
That leads us right into how Passover and Easter are related. Whether discovered in the story of a nation making the journey from Abraham's early successes to the Israelite slavery and subsequent redemption, or in the story of one who lives, dies, and is born again, we must all celebrate that life holds more possibility and potential than we first imagined, that there is reason for hope, and that in celebrating triumphs of hope from the past, we can unleash new stories of hope in the present and in the future. When I was in college, I did my paper on how holidays, how they're related, similarities, differences between Jewish and Christian holidays. So I especially enjoyed Passover and Easter because I find them so related. Is there anything you want to add to that?
Well certainly, the Passover meal is very intimate, since we feel that our first Eucharist was at a Passover meal. And also, in the Mass today that we have, the blessing of the cup, the blessing of bread, is part of what we call our offertory. And so those prayers, with a little adjustment to translation, are basically the same that would be said at a Passover meal. So there is a very intimate connection. When we talk about Holy Communion, when we talk about the Eucharist, what are we talking about? We're talking about receiving unleavened bread. In our law, you cannot have a host that is not made of simple water and wheat. There can be no yeast whatsoever. So it's a very similar matter, we would call that, of the two feasts.
And that unleavened bread, the Jews refer to it as matzah.
Right.
That is the bread, because when they were escaping from Egypt, they didn't have time to wait for it to rise. So it's known as matzah. I just want to refer you folks in our archives on Monday show, April 10, in our archives, Rabbi Joseph Potashnik did the Passover celebration. So you want to listen to that show as well. I'm always the first rabbi I call for anything is Rabbi Joseph, and the priest that I always call is Father Brian, and I met Father Brian through Rabbi Joseph. But we talk about the Passover celebration in that show, and one of the things we addressed, I asked him, is Passover only for Jews? And we talked about how with the Seders, oftentimes they invite people of Christian faith, and Father Brian was just sharing. He went to three Seders. The average Jew I know, including me, goes to two, first night and second night. Father Brian went to three. So I have to ask you the question, Father Brian, is Easter only for Christians?
I don't believe so, because the focus for us is, of course, Christ and rising from the dead. But there is also a reality. That's a human reality, and that is that Easter promises life, and the Jewish toast, shall we say, L'chaim, you know, to life. And I think that if you look at Easter, it can be an opportunity for you to say life is more important than our arguments. Life is more important than our getting our own way. That life means that I live not only for myself, but for others. So it can be a very much a celebration and an appreciation for all.
And speaking on behalf of myself as a Jewish woman, I love Easter as I do the other Christian holidays as well. Oh, my goodness, that Easter parade, to watch that unfold. Oftentimes I see it on television in New York. I was a New Yorker until the last 3.5 years. Love the Easter parade. Love looking at the clothes. Love the traditions, the fun, the bunnies, the eggs, all of that. So, I invite you folks to open yourself up where we said that Passover is not only for Jews. Non-Jewish members, non-Jewish guests are very often invited to Passover celebrations. And they say increasing number of Christians, Christian communities celebrate their own Seders, emanating what must have been an important part of Jesus' life experience in the first century. So I see them tremendously linked together.
I think one of the things, Joyce, that's very important about Passover, and I could feel it in all three Passovers, but I think, you know, when we think of Easter, a difference is that many Catholics, even weak Catholics that might not be a part of the community week after week, they're there at Mass on Sunday, Easter Sunday. They pack into the church. That's not true with Seders. The Seder focus is not so much on the synagogue or the temple. It focuses on the family. It focuses on the home. And those are values that are to be cherished. That the idea of the different generations, the asking of the questions, the idea of next year in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
You know, as a family, not, you know, as a nation, as much as this is our family hope that one day we will spend time in Jerusalem. And we as Christians say one time we hope to live with God forever, you know.
Yeah.
So it's that hopeful future that we're trying to begin by this very sacred meal, you know, of Passover and of our blessing of the Eucharist in the church. But I enjoyed the Seder because my last Seder with the one with Joe, we did have, not only myself, I was not the token Catholic, you might say, but there were others there, good friends with Joe and our host and hostess, you know, friends of long standing, many of them Christian, and you know, and the family and the children. And it was such a beautiful celebration of family and how we are all called to unity.
And folks, let me reference that Passover show again, because we speak about, from the rabbi's point of view, about Passover and Easter and the celebration of Passover, the traditions and all the symbols that are explained. Simply go to our archives, April 10, and you'll hear that show from Rabbi Joseph Potasnik. It was really special, just as this one about Easter is special, and I advise Christian and non-Christian folks alike to listen to this show. Father Brian, you said you went to three seders, and each one offered you something else. And I think the one with the children, my goodness, why don't we see those kind of things in the news? Why are we seeing so much misery and killings and everything else? I would have loved to have seen something like that in the news where it goes right to your heart. Why do you think so much good is left out of the news and the focus is on all that's going wrong with the world?
Unfortunately, that is the human part of us. For example, many times I'll be caught in New York City traffic and it'll be backed up. And you find out that it's not an accident on your side of the road, but on the other side of the road. And people just have to slow down and see the disaster.
Yes, true.
And we're always more curious the disaster rather than the good news of people sitting down together at a Seder table, or people that have, I think of our Jewish community in New York. We are so grateful to the Jewish community of New York for so many gifts to us in the area of culture. Why isn't there a big ceremony for when people give their life's blood for the American Red Cross or for the UJA or whatever. It's unfortunately we wallow in that misery. We wallow in the disaster and we ignore the good things. And that's why a feast like Easter is important, because it tells us the real best part of us is good, and the real best of us is when we are working together and living together and loving together.
I often tell people that every Bible in my house has the New Testament and the Old Testament, and I try to learn as much from both. The teachings of Jesus, Sermon on the Mount, all those things, as much as I like reading up on Dr. Martin Luther King and the Civil Rights Movement. I would say in every way, Christians, Jews, African Americans have come a long way, surely given the history of all of that. But Lord knows we have so much further to go.
Oh, absolutely. But you don't get to go further by looking back and seeing all the disaster. We look back and see what the contributions of prior generations are, and we ask ourselves, what contribution can we make to a better society, to a more peaceful world, to a more just community?
Well, it's been said, we've all heard this one, an eye for an eye. But the truth is, if that was the case, we'd have a world that would be blind. So
no,
we
but,
have.
No, can I?
Of course, go ahead.
Can I interrupt with that? The eye for the eye always bothers me, because the understanding I receive from my teachers is that that was a tremendous advance in law. It's not revenge, but an advance in law. For example, before an eye for an eye, before the rabbis, developed that concept of an eye for an eye, we had people who would steal an orange and would get killed for stealing the orange. It was there was injustice, because you did something wrong, you forfeit your life. And the rabbi said, oh, no. The only thing you're entitled to is the damages for the pain you have received. For example, let's say, and I learned this from WEVD, the Yiddish network in New York.
Mm-hmm.
If you stole a goat from your neighbor, what are you entitled to? Well, you're entitled to the goat, but also to the cost of the milk that you were deprived of when the goat was in your possession. An eye for
very interesting eye. Way of putting it all together. Go ahead, Father
yeah.
Brian.
But it's not revenge. It says, I don't have any right. Now, Jesus went a step further. And he said, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye. But I say to you, you know, forgive your neighbor.
Yes,
eye
that's
for
why
eye
we
should
let
not
off
be
with
used
forgiveness.
It. Yeah, but we should not ever use it, use the Bible or use the wisdom of our fathers for justifying revenge. No, absolutely not.
That's why I didn't know that with Jesus' word, it is said. I said, it is said. I said the same thing because
yeah.
what's so scary is the world is way beyond even that one. There was a story on the news this week about a 10-year-old autistic kid. You see the police coming into the school and arresting a 10-year-old autistic kid for kicking his teacher. So there's an example. You talked about death for something that was stolen. The parents said, why didn't they call me? What happened to the days of being sent to the principal's office? He kicked the teacher and two policemen escorting a 10-year-old kid that had detention overnight for kicking a teacher. There's another example. How ridiculous is that?
Well, that's the real, you're getting into an even deeper problem. It's the, you know, the failure of our educational system to adjust itself to the needs of all youngsters. And why would the police call that all? You know, when you call a policeman, he is bound by his training to think the worst situation. So you don't call the police. You know, it's just like they tell you don't call 911 unless it's an actual emergency.
Right.
Well, sometimes today, people expect the police officer to be the social worker, to be the doctor, to be this, that, or the other thing. And they're overwhelmed. Because other people, teachers, are not, you know, taking a proper role. And parents, many times, are not allowing the teachers to take their proper role.
You know, you know, as you spoke, it led me to all the injustices that the punishment is so far worse than the crime. Just so much, much worse. But one thing I would say is a crime. If you don't listen to this show, folks, every day we give you so much in terms of positive thinking, making a profound difference in your life, inspiring and motivating you to lead a so much better life. And hearing the wise words of our health guru, Beverly Nadler, why you should be listening.
Listen to me. I have something to say about a wonderful way to start your day, a way to stimulate your mind and increase your energy, make you feel so good. And guess what? It's free. Weekdays at 11 a.m. Eastern, hear the Joyce, Barry, and Friends show. You'll find it on the internet, on Blog Talk Radio. This show is upbeat and fun and very inspirational. It's informative, educational, and very motivational. There's the Coach's Corner, great quotes and news. There are suggestions, perspectives, and advice you can use to enhance your life and improve your health, plus clever, simple ways to increase your wealth. Joyce's perceptions and personality will keep you captivated, and her guests from many walks of life will always keep you fascinated. When Joyce and her friends speak, it's like you're in the conversation. This is part of what makes her show so unique, really a sensation. for Joyce's friends are not only the guests you're listening to, they're everyone who is tuning in. Yes, I do mean you. So refer your friends and family. They'll be so pleased to know. And let's make Joyce, Barry, and Friends the number one internet radio show.
And folks, we do ask that you partner up with us in having that happen. Just go to our homepage, Joyce Barry, Barrie, and friends.com, joycebarryandfriends.com, and right under my picture on the upper left, it says follow. And simply by clicking on that, you will get an email about every show, every guest, every topic. You need not miss any show, because if you can't join us when we are live at 11 a.m. Eastern, and that's 11 a.m. Eastern, it's around the globe, so you all have your different times, but you can access any show in our archives. Father Brian always gives us extraordinary wisdom. If you go to the homepage, Joyce Barry and Friends, on the upper right, put in Father Brian McWeeny, all his shows will come up. I also want to send them to your Facebook page. Is it Father Brian McWeeny? How it's listed? I go often, but I do it automatically.
It's Brian McWeeny, because Facebook doesn't allow us titles like rabbi or father or whatever.
I do it automatically, so I didn't remember. Okay, so that would be Brian McWeeny, McWeeny. And
that's correct.
What I especially get a kick out of so much is seeing you with the Pope. Can you share what that experience was like for you?
Oh, that was a very marvelous experience, and we talk about forgiveness and mercy, and certainly he has given us in his papacy great examples of that. And so we were invited to conduct with our Buddhist brothers and sisters to a dialogue. We were invited to Rome, and the Holy Father was gracious enough to welcome us to the dialogue, and we each met him individually. And at that time, because it was a couple of years ago, I said that we're looking forward to his visit to our country. And, of course, the rest is history, because he did visit. And one of the things he insisted on that I was privileged to participate in and direct was he wanted to meet men and women of all faith experiences. And so we had a meeting at the 9/11 Memorial for over 450 clergy from every part of the religious world. And it was really a tremendous grace to be in his presence that day when he took my picture with him, and then when he came to the States.
Everyone loves this Pope. I know that's fact, because we as Jews, we talk about him a lot as the people's Pope, the way we love Diana as the people's princess. I just want to say a little bit more about the really fun things regarding Easter. What's the significance with the bunnies and the Easter eggs? We all know that's such a big part of it, Easter, on the fun side.
Well, I think on the fun side, for example, we can say that because it is a springtime celebration, that we think of nature coming alive again. And certainly bunnies have a reputation, I don't know, fairly or not, of being able to multiply fairly quickly. And so I think they're very, very much a symbol of, joy. And also the size of them makes them always desirous by children. You know, they could play with them, whatever. It is a tragedy, though, and I'm sure that you would agree with me, that we should never, as parents, buy bunnies for our children unless they have been trained in the proper care of their animals. It would
Absolutely.
Be cruel to get a live bunny. So so therefore, most of us, in my house, the money's always arrived, with a, they were all stuffed.
Yes, I get that.
I was not never much of a person that could be depended upon for taking care of the pets. So the only pet I had was Mickey the parakeet, and Mickey pretty much took care of himself. And
yes,
I had to change his cage, but everything
right.
else went well.
I had a parakeet for many years. I used to take the drawstrings from the blinds and put them on it, and I'd swing it like a swing, and he did it like a trapeze performance every time. Mm. It was amazing. You mentioned fertility and bunnies. Eggs symbolize fertility and birth as well. They're strong symbols. So there's that connection. Jelly bean season, millions
right.
of jelly beans.
Now, also,
billions
one of the things peculiar to Catholics is, one of the things we often tell the children is that the egg represents the great big rock that was put against the tomb of Jesus. And when he rose from the dead, the rock was removed. And so the egg also represents the Christian symbol of the rock, and that has been moved, and that Jesus is alive. So we have a dual meaning there, not only the fertility and the springtime, but also the idea that it is something to tell our children about.
And part of it, in the celebration, similar to Christmas, is all the cards we buy wishing people a happy Easter. The games, the egg hunts, the children participate so much. Of course, there's so much about going to church, watching television. I'd watch it because I want to see the Easter parade.
Right.
And it's a time for holiday meals, time with loved ones, very similar to Passover. On Good Friday, I understand it's also known as Holy Friday, Great Friday, Black Friday, and even Easter Friday. Are those names all significant in one way or another?
The last one I'm not familiar with at all.
Easter Friday?
Not familiar at all with that.
It says that's the one that properly refers to the Friday in Easter week.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, but I got confused because how is it in Easter week when I understand it is the Friday before Easter Sunday?
No. Excuse me. We would always refer to this as Good Friday or Holy Friday, but not... But Good Friday is the common meaning,
yes.
Only for the church, but if you look at the stock market says we are closed for Good Friday.
Yes.
So that would be the most common word that we would use. Some people use the word Holy Friday because of Holy Thursday and Holy Saturday, so they just throw in Holy Friday. But Easter Friday, that would be what we say, Easter Monday, Easter Tuesday, Easter Wednesday, because as I say, we're celebrating this feast for at least the octave, for the 8 days, similar to Passover. But also we celebrate the Easter season for 50 days.
Folks, again, I invite you to listen to our Passover show on Monday with Rabbi Potasnik, April 10, in our archives. And the show today, tell your friends of all faiths, email them the links, pass it on, put it up on Facebook. We really want to see an interfaith world where people are connected to each other. We are absolutely of one race, the human race. So why not support each other, recognize each other, value each other? And if you agree with the teachings of this show, then when are you going to do your part? I say I try to do my part one person and one positive action at a time to make the world a better place? And if not now, when? Joyce, Barry, and Friends, the number one worldwide internet radio show. This poem, an original by yours truly, is entitled, If Not Now, When? We are giving you the education. We are giving you the information. We are giving you the motivation. We are giving you the inspiration. What you really need to do is to put this into application. Do you want a transformation? You must use your imagination. It might take some perspiration. It's all in the preparation. You must really be sure there is no procrastination. It helps to have a fascination and very strong determination. You want a positive demonstration, achieve success in the administration. It really is the time. Give each show your consideration. What is your aspiration? What do you need for stimulation? To get healthy and off that medication, to get wealthy, it's your destination. So make today the day for your participation. If you do, congratulations. If not, now, when? Father Brian, what is the message you'd like to tell our folks around the world? What is your Easter message?
My Easter message would be that we are celebrating in this holy season of Passover and Easter, God's love. And that is the mission of each and every one of us, to share that love. In spiritual ways, certainly by attending to our religious obligations, but also in material ways, in caring for our neighbor. There are so many people in our society who are doing without. I noticed a number of Jewish philanthropies are asking for help to get supplies for Passover to people who might not have the means of having that. I would say the same thing to our Christian brothers and sisters. There are many food banks that are in need of aid at this time of the year because there's many calls for their services. We talk about, in both the Jewish community and the Catholic community, the needs of our children. Let's try to make life a little more pleasant for them, especially those children who find themselves homeless and are in shelters. Let's not be unconscious of people around us who do not have that which we consider so much a part of our life. And that would be my essential message at this point in time. And my prayer for all is that I pray that God will bless each and every one of us and will strengthen us for the days ahead. And I hope they are days of hope and peace and justice. And I would ask your listeners in a special way to pray for our Holy Father, Pope Francis, as he goes to Egypt at the end of this month, being an instrument and a messenger of peace.
Amen to that. I love your prayers, Father Brian. You gave it right before I was going to ask you that. I never let you leave without a blessing. And folks, Easter and Passover reflects on love, family, and life's blessings. very significantly at this time of the year. So here is my personal blessing for all of you. May yesterday be the last day, the very last day of your struggles, your suffering, your ill health, your misfortunes, your problems, your pain, your worries, your troubles, your trials and tribulations. May today be the first day. It is the first day of the rest of your life. May it be the beginning of the very best of your life, with extraordinary wishes granted and dreams coming true. Make this the most meaningful year of making more money, good health, good luck, good fortune, attracting special people and opportunities, creating magical memories, and manifesting marvelous miracles. And folks, we ask you to sing along with us, dance along with us, and laugh along with us. We want you to be happy. We want you to be healthy. We want you to be blessed. God bless you all, and you can start that singing, dancing, and laughing along with us right here, right now, to the Joyce Barry Mass. Thank you.
I was listening to Blog Talk Radio when my ears heard something that I did know. From the speakers of my laptop I heard a voice. It was the White Oprah, also known as Joyce.
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH.
Joyce Barry MASH.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the MASH.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH. I felt so inspired by her show, and her poetry was just so good, you know. I want to listen to Joyce again and again. As Joyce would say, if not now, when?
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH.
Joyce Barry MASH.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the MASH.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH.
Wow.
Joyce knows all about having fun.
Wow.
She's a home business wizard and she's just begun.
Wow.
She's
wow.
a coaching sensation for not just me or
wow.
you or her. It's for everyone.
Then you can MASH.
Do the Joyce Barry MASH.
Joyce Barry MASH.
She's a home business smash.
Then you can MASH.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can MASH.
Do the Joyce Barry MASH.
Have a fantastic day and listen to Joyce Barry and Friends.